growing up first generation in the United States mostly, but going back and forth between, you know, small town Ohio and Jordan and, you know, early on in my life, the West Bank as well. I think I took on, you know, this kind of role as an observer. You know, I was not really American enough for the Americans, and I was not really Arab enough for the Arabs. So I fell kind of in between these two cultures, and that perspective lent itself to my stepping back and just observing things. And I didn't really realize, but that was kind of the very beginning of storytelling for me.
Welcome to This is Palestine. I'm Deanna Butu. This week, I had the pleasure of speaking with Shireen Daibis. Shireen is an award-winning Palestinian-American film and television director, writer, and actress. Shireen's first film, Amrika, premiered in 2009 and won a dozen international awards. Shireen has since gone on to direct Emmy Award-winning television shows such as Hulu's Rami and Netflix's Ozark, and has written for Empire, Quantico, and The L Word. Shireen also guest stars on Mo, comedian Mo Amer's new half-hour comedy show for Netflix, where Shireen plays the role of Mo's older sister. Most recently, Shireen was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Directing in a Comedy Series for the critically acclaimed episode The Boy from 6B on Hulu's Only Murders in the Building. This episode is told from the perspective of a deaf character and with only one line of spoken dialogue. To do this, Shireen relied on ASL, compelling visuals, and the soundtrack to tell the story. In addition to her directing work on season one, Shireen has directed two episodes of season two. The Emmys will take place on September the 12th.
Welcome, Shireen. I can't believe I'm actually speaking to you.
Oh, thank you so much. So sweet. I'm so happy to be here. Are you kidding?
I've been fanning on you for such a long time. This is a highlight for me. For Shireen, huge congratulations on your Emmy nomination.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And your role in Mo. Tell me about it. How did that all come about?
You know, I'm such a huge fan of Mo's. I just love him. And I worked with him on Rami. And so, you know, and I worked with Rami and know Rami. I heard about the series, and I just put out there that I was, you know, I would love to be involved in this in any way. Yeah. When I heard that, you know, he was looking for someone to play his older sister, it was just like, yeah, please consider me. Like, I put myself forward. And in fact, I didn't even, like, at all happen through my representatives. And then when I sent in my audition tape, I just reached out to Rami and Mo and was like, hey, I just put myself on tape for this. Just letting you know, like, look out for it. I just really wanted to be involved in the show in whatever way I could be, because it was like, it's just so huge for us. What a huge historical moment and kind of milestone in representation for Palestinians. And I just feel like it's something I personally wanted and kind of was trying, like, had been working for in my career. So I was just so thrilled to actually get to be in front of the camera as well, like, just to do something I don't normally get to do and to represent in a, you know, entirely different way, which was a lot of fun, like, really a lot of fun. You know, directing can be, sometimes it's almost like a parental role, you know, like, you're the responsible one and you're in charge of everything. And then, you know, getting to be in front of the camera just feels a little bit more like playful and, you know, like, oh, I'm going to let someone else do all the work. Like, I can just have fun now. It was awesome.
So let's step back a second. How did you get into TV and film?
Well, it's interesting because in some ways, from the time I was a kid, I was just obsessed with storytelling. It was just, whether it was like bedtime stories, making up stories, telling stories, and watching television and going to see films. Like, I just was one of those kids that would look at the TV screen and go, that's what I want. And I didn't really know what it even meant. I mean, I had no idea what it meant. It was just something that was so clear to me very early on. But it wasn't really until, well, a few things happened. One is that I think growing up first generation in the United States mostly, but going back and forth between, you know, small town Ohio and Jordan and, you know, early on in my life, the West Bank as well. I think I took on, you know, this kind of role as an observer. You know, I was not really American enough for the Americans, and I was not really Arab enough for the Arabs. So I fell kind of in between these two cultures, and that perspective lent itself to my stepping back and just observing things. And I didn't really realize, but that was kind of the very beginning of storytelling for me. Like in some ways, just observing and kind of being creating distance in order to tell a story. Like that was it just was such a natural, you know, kind of thing to do from that point of view, was just like tell the story and comment on like what I thought was funny as I was like observing things. My parents bought a like camcorder when I was 12, and they handed it to me because they were like, well, Shireen, we'll figure out how to make it work. And I did. Like I was that kid who would just read the manual front to back. So I read it, and my parents had me videotaping really boring things. And I just one day started telling people what to do on camera to make it more fun. And that became a way for me to show like my friends in the United States, like, oh, look at this thing I shot in Jordan, or, oh, you know, show my Arab family, like, oh, look at this thing that we did in the US. Like it was just a way to kind of bridge the cultures. And I didn't really know what I was doing at that time. I had no idea that that was the beginnings of my becoming a filmmaker or a storyteller or a director. And then the first Gulf War hit in the mm-hmm. early 90s.
Yeah.
And that was really the moment where it was like a super like important political awakening for me, but also a real awakening in terms of me understanding the importance of media. Because overnight, we went from friends and neighbors to, you know, terrorists and threat and, you know, who knows. You know, my family, we'd been living in the small town for, I think, like 10 years at that point, or even longer. And we started getting death threats on a daily basis. Really horrible rumors circulating, like my dad's son is fighting, you know, in Saddam Hussein's army. My dad has 5 daughters. And my mom, people were calling my mom the Arab bitch, and they weren't like, she would be kicked out of stores, like grocery stores or whatever. It was really, really bad. I mean, Enrique's partly inspired by what happened during that time, but what happened in real life is actually so much worse than what happens in the film. The worst part actually was when the Secret Service came to my high school to investigate a rumor that my older sister threatened to kill the president. I remember my parents having like whispered conversations about moving away. Like really, they were desperately trying to figure out where to go. Like they felt very unsafe. And my dad, who apparently, you know, I mean, he was losing patients at his practice. He's a pediatrician. His name is Nazi. People were calling him the Palestinian Nazi. It was so bad for a period of time that I just remember thinking to myself, why? Like, why are people thinking this about us? Like, what on earth would make them think that we, who have been their neighbors, friendly neighbors for all of this time, would suddenly be threats, like suddenly be threatened. You know, my dad, who actually at the time couldn't even bring himself to buy a gun to protect his family, he bought 2 baseball bats and put them behind like the front door and the back door. Like what would make people think that he was a threat? And that, and really the only thing I could, the only conclusion I could come to was film and television, was the media, was the press, was the way in which we were being painted and misrepresented. I became so angry about it and so impassioned to do something about it that was really the moment. I mean, I think it was like 13 or 14 at the time. That was the moment where I vowed. I was like, I'm telling our story. There's just nothing remotely authentic out there as far as representation of Arabs, let alone Palestinians. I mean, talk about the most misunderstood of all Arabs, you know, especially at that time in small town Ohio.
And so you then go on and pursue, you go on to study film at Columbia University and then go on to a fabulous directing, acting, and writing career. And now here we are with your Emmy nomination. Can you talk a little bit about your experience directing Murders in the Building, which I think is fantastic, by the way?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I think one of the things that I became really aware of when I went off to film school, you know, so this thing happened in small town Ohio and I was like 14 or something. It took me about 10 years to finally get off to film school. And, you know, film school is really a time where you're trying to figure out like who you are, what, like who you are as an artist, who you are as a storyteller, who you are, like what your voice is, essentially. And one of the things I think I realized was, as a Palestinian, you know, we're so politicized, like there's just no way to escape politics. Like even, you know, even when you want to, even when you're just like, I really don't want to talk about this right now. You know, from the time that you're young, it's just like, I mean, especially living in the diaspora, you know, I didn't grow up under occupation. So that's a whole other thing. But in the diaspora, it's like, you tell people you're Palestinian, either they don't know where it is, like at least in the 80s, it was like, either they didn't know where it was, or they thought you said Pakistan, or they...
Been there.
Yeah, right. It's actually, it's a joke in Mo, right? In the series, it made it into the series because so many had that experience. But it's like either they just don't know anything about it, or they want to know about it. And suddenly it's your job to educate them, you know, and they're like, what do you think of what's happening over there? And it becomes like some sort of a political conversation or education. And I think that when I arrived in film school, I just remember going, I just want people to know who we are. Like, I just want to tell stories about like everyday people. And I really wanted to tell the story about what happened to my family during the first Gulf War, like just a story that was inspired by what happened to my family during that time. I realized that the best way into that story was through humor. I tried to tell it without humor and it was really bad. It was just really heavy-handed. People weren't interested. I wasn't even interested, to tell you the truth. Like, I started writing it and I just thought, this is not right. I needed to find a way in that felt a little lighter and that brought humor and that just didn't take itself too seriously. And what I realized was, like, that's kind of who I am as a storyteller. What I discovered during that time was, like, I want to tell stories that have heart and humor, because that's how I feel I can get I can reach people. All of that to say, like, I really started gravitating towards comedy. I really started to want to study comedy and understand comedy and watch comedy. I think comedy is just like underappreciated in our culture in so many ways. Like, I feel like it's maybe becoming more and more appreciated. And I'm speaking mostly about like the industry. For us Palestinians, like, humor is such an important part of survival. And that was something that I really wanted to like show. So when I got the opportunity to like direct a show like Only Murders in the Building, I was like, hell yeah. Like, that sounds amazing. Like, to be able to work with comedy legends. I mean, it was like a masterclass in comedy, just watching them work, seeing what they brought to it, understanding how the choices they made in delivering like a line of dialogue, and then getting to really kind of stretch my own comedy chops was really, really exciting to me. And I think it's really interesting just to combine that with my own identity and my own background, knowing that at some point I would like to make like a broad Palestinian comedy, like something that is a much more of a comedy than the films that I've made in the past. So, and then on top of that, I was offered the episode of Only Murders in the Building, which showcased the point of view of a deaf character. And for me, you know, I became a storyteller really in order to represent my community. But what I've discovered is it's not just my community, like it's all communities that are misrepresented and underrepresented, because we have to lift each other up. We all need each other. And so, you know, from working on, you know, the queer series, The L Word, or, you know, the African-American series Empire, just all of these different experiences that I've been able to have that have taught me a lot as a writer, as a director, as an actor. And then ultimately, then to be able to do this episode from the point of view of a deaf character and really take on this great responsibility to authentically represent yet another community that has been really underrepresented and misrepresented was amazing and something that really interested me.
And then from there, you know, what struck me and just what you just said was, mm-hmm. Palestine, as you know, is it's so tragic that it could be a comedy. And
yeah,
there's so many aspects of daily life here that really the only way that you can survive is by either finding faith or finding some sort of humor, or perhaps both. It's a little bit on the, you know, it's not a little bit, it's completely crazy. So you mentioned that you want to work a comedy series. Any thoughts that you have on it? Is there anything that you're that's in the works?
Well, I do. I mean, I do have a series that I am developing that's based on a Palestinian American family that does involve going back to Palestine. It does involve being in Palestine. And it's a half hour comedy. And it's women, like a lot of female, really strong female characters, which I think is something that I'm particularly good at, is writing strong Arab women. So that's something that I'm working on. It's been a lot of years of me kind of dancing around Sohrab Amri's book, Sharon and My Mother-in-Law.
Ah, yes. Okay.
And yeah, so funny enough, it was announced back in 2013 that I was going to adapt that book. And then all of these extenuating circumstances, like just for whatever reason, it ended up not happening then. And then the book came back to me a second time and then it ended up not happening again. The book has come back to me a third time. And so this time I am actually working with producers to get that project off the ground. And I'm excited about it because it is exactly what you're saying. Like, it really is finding the comedy and the absurdity in the everyday life of Palestinians and of, like, you know, occupation. And this particular story takes place during the 2002 incursion in Ramallah. So, you know, it's a very specific period of time in which Ramallah was under curfew for 40 some days. Is that right?
That's right. I remember it well. Yes, 42 days with it lifted on and off for a couple of days for a couple of hours every 3 days, just enough time for us to scramble to the market and beat each other up like it's Boxing Day, like it's the, you know, what is it? Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. Oh my God. Nightmare. It's interesting, right? Given where the world is at and how after COVID and lockdown and worldwide curfew, more and more people could relate to that story now more than ever.
You know, you mentioned earlier on that you feel that this is a historic moment. It's a breakthrough moment with Mo, the series that has happened. What impact do you think this is going to have on the future of Palestinians in the media? Do you think that it's going to stop there? Is it going to change? Is it going to be the same? Because there have been a few Palestinians in the media, some excellent ones, but what is specific about this moment?
Well, I think what's specific about what's happening at this particular moment is, like, it's on the heels of so much of, you know, people have been doing incredible work to get us to where we are. I mean, and it's taken every single one of us to get to where we are, every single one of us, you know, whether doing something big or small, whatever contribution that we've made, you know, IMEU has been doing unbelievable work. You've been doing unbelievable work. You know, even me making Amrika, I felt like that was my attempt of, like, let's, you know, putting a Palestinian family story out into the world. And it's been just decades and decades of people doing this kind of work on, you know, on all levels. And I mean, it's interesting as someone who, and you probably, I feel like you can't be Palestinian and not be on some level a media critic and a media expert in the way in which Arabs and Palestinians in particular are portrayed, because we have been suffering from horrific portrayal and misinformation and total erasure. And I mean, so many things. And so from the time that, like, I was a kid, I've been, like, really looking at this and studying this. And it's sort of amazing to see it change. Like, I remember when Amrika came out right after Obama was elected and he was being inaugurated. And Amrika was at Sundance. And it was the first time that a major media outlet, 60 Minutes, did a story on what it meant to be a Palestinian living under occupation. Right? It was 2009. And that was a huge moment for us. Like, I mean, I remember being like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, whoa. I mean, it's so sad on some level that excites us, but this is how starved we've been for some, like, just a little bit of truth, a little bit of our story, a little bit of authentic representation, a little bit of just acknowledgement of our suffering and what we've been through. Last year, last May, June, I mean, it was like after all of these, like, bombardments of Gaza, it feels like the tide has been turning in the U.S. And you've got people like Amen, and you've got, you know, for MSNBC, and you've got all of these just amazing people who are really pushing the boundaries and really fighting for the change, really fighting to tell the stories that need to be told. And I just feel like people's eyes are opening in a way that we've not seen before. I mean, I definitely felt that last year. there is definitely a level of awareness now that there never was, and things are shifting in a way. So Mo is arriving at a critical moment, and it's a critical moment where it feels like we're on the brink of just, it feels like something so huge, just this precipice. It just feels like we're like on the brink of something, you know, like we have like how many people in Congress now who are actually fighting for justice in Palestine, who are talking about Palestine, you know, challenging Israel. And it's, these things are all amazing. But then to have a series like Mo come at a time when we are at this precipice, I think is just so important, because popular culture is, I mean, it really does, it sets the tone. I mean, it really does, it shifts everything. It really has the ability to create change in people's hearts and minds. So, I mean, the fact that it's like been in the top 10 on Netflix is massive.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier, which is what changed your life was this, was the way in which Arabs were being portrayed during the first Gulf War, during 1990-1991. And so now to see that shift is, it's like we've crossed a threshold, or at least I hope we have.
And I think kind of the phrase I was looking for was like, we've arrived at this precipice where we're so close to really, really crossing it fully. Like, it feels like we're teetering, and sometimes it feels like we're over it, and sometimes it feels like we're not quite, you know, but it feels like a show like Mo coming out at this moment could really get us over that threshold.
So last question, have you found a place where you're going to put the Emmy?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I'm so thrilled to just be nominated and to be going to the Emmys. And I'm in disbelief. Funny enough, full of like awards that I've gotten in the past for my films I've given to my mother, and they live in Jordan, which I feel is really appropriate. My mom lives in Jordan, so they'll probably give it to my mom.
Well, I hope you put a Palestinian flag. I hope you have her carrying the Palestinian flag as...
Oh, yeah. We'll bring any Palestinian flag for sure. And we'll put it up somewhere. We're near a window.
All right, Shireen. Well, thank you. I really have taken up way too much of your time.
So great to talk to you.
And to you too.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to This is Palestine, a podcast brought to you by the Institute for Middle East Understanding. The IMEU is a nonprofit focused on giving you access to untold stories, facts, and expert sources on all things Palestine. For more information, please visit our website at www.imeu.org and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the IMEU. Please don't forget to subscribe. I'm Deanna Butu. Thanks for listening.